Chapter 2. Rune-marked. Loken was shown out by Braw. Without needing to be told, the lower-ranking space wolves and their mortal servants began to depart, leaving Russ alone with the Einherjar. Outside of this august group, only Braw Tirefinger and Bjorn the One-Handed remained. Braw's inclusion was understandable to the Einherjar. He had been on Horus's ship. He served Malkador, the Emperor's right hand. Bjorn was another matter. Russ knew it was a mystery to his wolf lords why Bjorn was so often at his side. Russ wasn't entirely sure himself. At Alaxes, the runes had hinted at some important role for the one-armed warrior. The runes did not lie, and so Russ kept Bjorn around. Russ had brought his entire legion to punish Magnus. With few exceptions, they had remained as one force ever since Prospero's burning. Therefore, they were all there, the wolf lords who had survived. There was Ogvi Helmschrott, Jarl of Traa, Lufven Close-Handed of Four, Amlodi Skarsen Skarsensson of Fife, Skunnar of Sesk, Haval Redblade, Lord of Sepp, Baldir Vidunson of Fortwa, Sturgard Jorikson of Tratra, Laughing Jarmag of Tolv, recently returned to the Legion from the Watch Pack sent to Dawn, and Skard Oki, who had taken up the burden of Tolv's command while Jarmag was absent. Russ still had not decided what to do with Jarmag and Oki. Jarmag had defied him, but was a better leader than Oki. There was a problematic decision there. They could wait. Lastly, there was Jorin Bloodhowl, who led Dektra. The rest, the great companies of On, Twa, Dek, and Elva, had no leaders. Holmi Longanger of Twa had been killed at Prospero. Vili of Elva slain at Davarant. Elva, Russ reflected, had been struck by a fell weird, running through four wolf lords in as many years. Dek's lord, Hemtal, was dead at Alaxis, along with Russ's greatest loss, Gunnar Gunhilt,
Jarl of On.
Russ and Lord Gunn had not seen eye to eye at the end. Russ resented him for his insubordination still, but Gunn's death had been a good one. They could settle their differences in the golden halls of the Oververse when Russ's own time came. If the golden halls was where Russ would go. The clash between the two sides of Russ was at its most tempestuous when it came to religious belief. He preferred not to dwell on those questions. When he spoke with his priests, he believed the old tales. When he spoke with his father, he believed the imperial truth. That was sufficient for living in the now. He had lost several of his lords, and the state of the Legion at large was even worse than that suggested. The perils of gathering your Hersiers together, thought Russ ruefully, is that they can all fall through the ice at once. Prospero had thinned their ranks. Alaxes had come close to catastrophe. Vanaheim and Davarant had culled more. The Sixth had thrown itself into Terra's defence, and the forays beyond with all its characteristic energy. But they were weaker than they had been for years. With the Jarls were the higher wolf priests and other ranking Vilka Fenrika. 2 dozen or so, all told, hard-bitten warlords. Their war suits, the pinnacle of the Imperial armourer's art, its existence possible solely through the most refined of human technologies, were draped with a barbarian king's wealth in gold, trophies, runes, and furs. They were a contradiction in grey. Russ liked them that way. The last of the lesser warriors and carls left. The armoured doors rolled shut. Fireballs guttered in the changing air currents. Atmosphere processors whined as they consumed the smoke.
My warriors! My rout! Said Russ fondly. My Einherjar, the finest warriors in all the Emperor's domains.
He looked them over. The Vilka Fenrika were never truly still. There was an urge to action in them that nothing could quiet. Their war gear and personal effects were so different they could not be called a uniform. His command, Kada, was a coalition of kings. They were not a legion in the same way that any of the others were. This too pleased Russ.
Heed what I am about to say, Russ said. I do not wish to repeat myself, and I do not wish my words to be repeated outside of this hall. I will work the murder make on any who whisper what I will tell to you.
His lord shifted and hunched, alpha pack leaders challenged by a wolf larger than they. They could submit, they could run, they could fight. Russ did not threaten warriors like them without good reason. He felt their unease.
The lunar wolf, Gavial Loken, spoke the truth. I cannot beat Horus Lupercal. If we attack now, he will kill me, and this legion will die.
Russ did not expect his men to react favorably to this statement, and they did not. Their alarm was mixed with anger. It pulsed from them and through the Wolf King. He felt an echo of their disquiet emanate from the spear on the wall behind him, as if it had gathered up all the bad thoughts in the room and turned them spitefully back upon the gathering. Russ did not like the spear. He did not like spears as a weapon in general. He preferred the nobility of swords. They were hard to make and hard to fight with well. In their laboriously forged edges and the skill required to use them was the legacy of kings. After swords, Russ favored axes. The axe's smile was a warrior's battle joy made manifest. Axes needed strength and cunning. They were heavy and slow. Timing with an axe was all. When handled poorly, they were a death sentence for the wielder. When landed correctly, they had power no other edged weapon did, breaking armor, carving flesh, and smashing bones. They were a murder tool, uncompromising in their brutality. They were joyous. They were honest. Spears were cunning. Spears did not smile like an axe, nor did they possess a sword's majesty. A spear was a darting tongue, wounding like a hag's unkind words. The spear was the mocker in the court, the long reach of shame. A spear put a man at too far a remove from his foe. You could not taste a man's fear sweat when wielding a spear. You could not look him dead in the eye. Might as well use a gun as a spear. But that was not why Russ did not like his father's gift.
What do you say?
Said Ogvai. He snarled the words. They vexed him, and he bit at them as they came from his mouth.
You heard what I said. Horus will not fall to my sword, said Russ. Then we are not to go, said Skard Oki. Unstop your ears, Oki, said Russ. I said I could not beat him if we left now. But my Jarls, he said, standing, I shall find a way. We have a purpose to fulfill, and we shall do what we were made for. Horus will fall. Kavar!
Russ called for his chief rune priest, Kavar, also called He Who Is Divided. He walked haltingly, even with the support of his power armor. The All-Father's remoulding of his flesh had stayed the progress of a disease that had plagued him since birth, but it could not reverse it. Beneath his battle plate, his body was knotted and gnarled as the rigging on a storm-wrecked ship. Men outside the Legion thought his war name came from his deformation. That was not so. Kavar's spirit was so strong it more than compensated for his enfeebled body. It was said of him that he was more powerful in the Underverse than he was in the Sea of Storms that is this world. On the face of it, such a person was not fit to be a legionary. But then, such a person was not fit to survive childhood on Fenris. That he had done both was enough to validate him, never mind his wisdom or his weirding skill. His disability was invisible to his brothers. The Varagir stepped back to give Kavar room. The more superstitious among them spat upon the floor. They meant no disrespect to the priest, but the whites crawled close below the surface of the world where warlocks like Kavar went.
Horus's transformation is no surprise to we Gotti, said Kavar, addressing the room. His altered soul quivers the underverse. The stench of his corruption is carried on the winds of a thousand worlds. His name is howled in anguish by every wolf in Asaheim. He is a monster. But all here know that no monster is unbeatable.
We are to return to Fenris, said Russ.
There I will take counsel with Kavar and the other Goti. At home, the priests will be protected by the spirit of our world.
There, we can learn his weakness.
You cannot do this here? Asked Haval. We are at the Birthworld. The Emperor is the greatest warlock of them all. He will shield you.
There was nothing traitorous in what Haval said. He named the Emperor honestly. Men of the Fenrica spoke without falsehood.
The Allfather is of Terra. We are of Fenris. Perilous things may be done there, said Kavar. Things that cannot be attempted elsewhere, even here. We are of the ice and of the fire. Fenris's world howl will drive back the whites and the ghosts and the neverborn. There we need not wait upon the Allfather's indulgence.
What do you hope to find?
Asked Huskarl Grimnir Blackblood, chief of Russ's personal guard.
I do not know, said Kavar. A man's weird cannot be changed, but if it appears without hope, that does not mean it is so. I was born with this disease already rooted in my bones. My right arm was reed thin, a sure sign of a poor weird. So sure were the elders of my tribe that I could not survive, they declined to present me with the child gift. My father insisted that his son at least be given the chance, urged on by the tears of my mother. And lo, I grasped the axe in my strong left hand.
He shook his staff. The runes dangling from the wolf's skull atop it jangled.
And I would not let it go. They said I would not live, but I did. They said I would not prosper, but I did. When the Sky Warriors came to our eight and took me, they said I would fail their trials, and I did not. They said I would fail the flesh-making, and I did not. Nor did I fail Morkai's test. Here I am. There is often a way when all hope seems lost. I am living proof.
Fine, grunted Amlodi Skarsen Skarsenson. I'll go wherever the Primarch says, to hell and back if need be. I am not dissuaded by a small thing like death. You want to gather battle cunning in the Underverse? It makes no odds to my thread. It'll be cut when it's cut. Tell me first, though, two-sided man. Where is the Warmaster? We can't kill him if we can't find him.
Words of agreement rose up in the group, making it seem three times their number were in the hall. Kavar looked to Russ. The Primarch inclined his head in permission. Kavar reached into a tasseled hide pouch at his side and tossed a handful of fragile bark squares into the air. They fell partway to the floor before coming to a gentle stop and rose up. On every one was carved a single rune. Behind Kavar's leather mask, his golden yellow eyes closed, and a sense of power bellied out from him like wind filling the sail of a wolf ship. The Einherjar spat upon the floor again.
Bror and Malkador's champions,
marked the vengeful spirit for attack. They carved the Futhark into its ways. These signs will guide our boarding parties. But they do more than that. Through these marks, I and the other Goti can find the War Master's ship within the Sea of Souls.
What if the War Master's devils have found the marks? Asked Ogvai Ogvai Helmshrot. We could be walking into a trap.
They won't, said Braw. We were careful.
He has many witches, said Haval.
The power they contain is alien to the War Master's servants, said Gavar. They will not sense it.
If he finds some, he won't find all, said Braw. And he'll think they are only what they look to be, scouting marks for important locations aboard his ship, because that's what they are. But they also aren't.
Attacking him is too risky, said Scanner. Horus is too battle-canny. We can't attack the traitor head-on, we are too few. What do your brothers say?
You're too timid, Scanner, shouted Lúthien. There is glory here.
Timid? It is you who are unwise, shouts Rose.
Of course it's risky, said Russ, interrupting the brewing argument. Of course he'll see through everything we do. We go against the arch-traitor, the War Master, the greatest general in human history. This is no land raid. Compared to this, our greatest campaigns will be as nothing. The Wheel of Fire? Nothing. The Rangan Xenocides?
A day's friendly brawling.
His warriors bristled at his words. There was a bitter undertone they were not used to hearing in their lord's voice.
This battle will define us. This will make us. By this deed will our legion be forever remembered, said Russ. I want Horus to guess what we are doing. I want him to expect us. A good hunter uses the land against his prey. He makes his prey confident in its might. I want him to think us foolish, to charge back. In this way, can mere men bring down an Algir, the great Razor Elk? This is how we will beat Horus. He is arrogant. That is our greatest weapon.
I laud your courage, great Jarl, said Skarsenson. But first you have to find a way to kill him, or the cleverest trap will do naught.
As always, Amlodi, you have a fine grasp of the strategic detail, said Russ with a grin.
Just so long as I know, said Skarsenson.
You shall know as soon as I do, said Russ. My Jarls, we return to Fenris soon. Prepare yourselves. Prepare your great companies. Rejoice that you shall see home again. But be mindful that we shall be there but a while. For once the truth is revealed to me, we strike for Horus without delay. Fenris Iuldar, he proclaimed.
Fenris Iuldar,
they replied.